Probably not. I don't know how they'll really make it, but they'll probably try to make it on their own.
Yet. I'm trying to get them this week, but we haven't hit too many things on top of it, so I'm trying to find a hole in my schedule to do it. But if I don't have them by Friday, I'll have them for sure by Tuesday. I can't allow it to go any later than that, because we have another test coming for 2 months. Chapter 32 here. But I think that'll probably be the last one. Chapter 32, part 10. We'll probably get to a few chapters beyond that. So. I think we made it to 35 before, so we'll probably get pretty close to that. These chapters, most of these chapters, are going to be just a lot more peculiarity to paradigm. We're on page 144, and we're talking about these three hey verbs in the imperfect. And we have these paradigms, so forth. They're really not too bad, actually. Three hey aren't that bad, really. They're consistent. And then we're just looking at the comments here. The verb haya, or kaya, to live, is inflected like haya, except that the infinitive construct is vocalized with chatzet pahat in the first syllable. So you get kayo instead of teyo, heyo, excuse me. So you have chatzet pahat instead of kayo. So otherwise, it's just exactly like haya in this paradigm. Just put a hey instead of a hey and you got it. Okay, then the two verbs, afa, to bake, and ava, to be willing. Remember that little rhyme thing we had? These are the other two of the one aleph that we had, but these also have to be three hays, so they wanted to save them for the three hay chapter. And so they have imperfects, yofeh, and yoveh, and following the one aleph pattern in conjunction with the three hay. So if you just combine those two patterns, you'll have it. Then there's a distinct form for the justice in the singular. It may be thought of as a shortened or apocopated form. Apocopated means cut off. You cut short. You cut something off. Cut something away. So it's an apocopated form of the imperfect without the final F. But the development of the secondary vowel to resolve the resulting final consonant cluster has produced inconsistency. Well, in other words, if you chop the E off, then you get two consonants in a row, the schwa, the first one, you know, and now the question is, how are you going to pronounce that? So in some cases you pronounce it just as is, some cases you put another vowel in there. There's several things that they'll do with it. That's why you see these inconsistencies. So here for reference is a list of the most important three hays with their attested short forms. Now, there's a little bit of a confusion, I think, the way he's used the term justice here. We've been using the term justice for just third-person forms before, remember? And we kind of consider that justice third-person, cohortative is first-person, and your imperative is second-person. So I think it's still, and I don't know what he's intending to do, by the way. I think he's slid the word justice over here. The justice, technically, justice would only apply to your third-person masculine singular. Maybe your third-person feminine singular form, those first two columns. But see, the second-person masculine singular, which is in the imperfect, is exactly the same as the third-person feminine singular. That wouldn't be technically adjusted, even though it looks... In other words, it functions adjusted. The reason they started to lump these things together, though, is because in the law consecutive for these verbs, you'll customarily normally see this shortened form used. And so there's the cohortatives, the first person, you know, singular and plural, are going to have a shortened form also. So they kind of, you know, lump them all together and, you know, call them shortened forms. And some of them are adjusted, technically adjusted function-wise, but others are not. So the way that these function, if you look at this list, you know, you've got the bana to build, and we've got yivneh for the imperfect, and then we've got Yibin for the masculine singers. Notice the net, or the N, has just dropped off. And then now you would have had Yibin, you know, with the Shawa, but then you go ahead and get it to go with Yibin. Some of them don't do that, so you see. And despise, Mazda, we've got Yivzeh, that's predictable, and then Yibiz for your adjusted form or your shortened form. And if you put the wow consecutive on it, being why Yibiz, that's where you normally see that in a narrative. If you wanted to say, and he despised, it would be why Yibiz instead of why Yibzeh. So you're almost always going to see those in your wow consecutive forms. Weep is Baka, and we've got Yivka, and then Yevk, Yevk. And notice here they keep the Shua and put two Shua's in a row. This is a place that was mentioned in your, back in your, it doesn't happen too often, but back in your Sounds and Spelling, they mentioned at the end of a word, once in a while you get two Shua's and you both of them are silent. So this is the place. In fact, this was the word that they used, Wayevk, I think was the word they had back there. And that I remember it well because Bob Doss used to say this all the time after a test. My age and wet. Let me see if I can find it, though. I may not pay that much attention to it back there. Okay, it's on page Roman numeral 27. And number 8, near about the middle of the page there, just above Metek there. It says, in the rather rare situation where a final syllable of a word closes with two consonants, for example, Y-A, and he wept, the sign Shawa is placed under both. So this is what you're reporting. So this would be the walk consecutive form of this form that we've got here, this justice form. So this is what he meant by the peculiarities of how they resolve these consonants and both problems. The majority of them are getting a flagol or something there, but Y-A gets two Shawas. And then the feminine singular tape, you know, the same thing on tape if you had it. Okay, none of the rest of these are of note. I guess down for drink, to drink, you get the same kind of situation there. You started with shata, and yishte, and then you get yesht. Same thing there, the two shawas and both silent. And capture the same thing too. You get Yishubay. I don't know how you pronounce that one. But that one you may have to put a kind of a Shabbat out there to get to sound. Yishubay. Yishubay. Okay. So the one gutturals you're going to start getting, well, the two gutturals too, you start getting with. Ra'ah, you get Ye-ra, you get a papak instead of the goal. Ye-ret still keeps the goal. The verb to answer, Ana, you get
Ya'an. Ya'an, you get the pop up in the first syllable also. And ascend, the same thing, Ya'al, and do, Ya'at. Maybe we haven't had any forms like that. Waya'at is very common, and he did. To conceive is a nice verb. You don't have any forms of it. Because you're only going to have feminine singular form there. Masculine don't do that. And camp. Let's see. Oh, you've got a hirik and papa on that. Yichan. And yichar would be angry. One nun, these are the shortest of all. Classically, one nun seems to shorten up about as much as anything. Especially one nun and one three eight together.
Do they have some kind of animosity against the end sound or something?
I don't know. There seems to be. It's like to pull them in or get rid of them or somehow. Okay, then anomalous forms here. Yahi for Haya and Yahi for Kaya. You get this here at Yol. I suppose it's not so anomalous if you... Well, I guess it is. We've got a Shua in the first syllable. Most of these had either a Seri or a Pasak or a Hirik. That was a full vowel. So I suppose that's the thing they're zeroing in on. See, why he comes from this. You just put Wa in front of this, and why he is where... Remember that one. And that's the apostated form, you know, an adjusted sex form. Okay. Then there are the first-person forms over here, too, the commons. I really didn't draw too much attention to it, but it's the same basic pattern. Instead of a yod, you'll have an aleph on it, or a nun, if it's plural. There aren't too many of them that are plurals. So if we finally encounter some that have a different adjusted form than the perfect, most of the other verbs are going to have, there's going to be no difference in the adjusted form in these perfect forms. But here we do have, with these three hays, they tend to shorten up. And there'll be some other nouns, other verbs that do that too. Okay, the importance of these forms lies not so much in the use of justice, because you don't see justice used that much technically, but rather in the fact that these short forms are used regularly with while conversing in the past tense, in the past narrative sequence. So that's the major. Waya'at, and he made wateb, and she wept. That's where you're going to see these more often than any place else. You don't really run into justice by themselves that frequently. Well, you know, let him do this or let him do that. You know, you're not going to say that too frequently. But it kind of depends on what kind of part portion of scripture you're dealing with. But the Waqf Tekri forms are funny. The short forms of the third and second persons are nearly always used. In the first person, there is an option between the short and normal forms. So for the first person, if you're using Waqf consecutive now, you may see either the long or the short form. So from the verb vaka, meaning to weep, you could have wa evka, or wa ev. And you might see them either way on the first person forms. The third person and second person forms are almost always the short form, though. Then note the sequence form, wayar, kind of interesting with the sound of shawa there and the quiescent aleph that doesn't get any sound at all. Wayar, and he saw, which differs from the adjustive yere. This is an exception to the rule. Just in while consecutive, it drops the goal there and gets pop out. There are no cohortatives in ah for the verb three hey, so you're not sticking an ah on them. You know, the cohortatives are just generally going to take the shortened form or just the normal first person form of the imperfect. So there's no additional ah on those. Stem of the infinitive construct undergoes no changes with the addition of the pronominal suffixes. That's mainly because it's nice, got a nice closed syllable with an unchangeable long vowel and an oath already. So it's like those feminines, you know, remember the feminine plurals, so you just add the suffixes onto the feminine, you don't drop the suffix off or change it or anything. So the same kind of thing happens here formally. Now these are not feminines, but it's same philosophy. So Benofi, my building, and Benofika, your building. Now that doesn't mean structure, it means building something. That's the verbal action.
Okay, any questions there on this flood of information? Yeah.
So these things are called justice. Some of them really are.
Yeah, but I would say, now, I think the problem is mainly the fact that he... He's just being not too precise. Most of the textbooks will designate justice as only referring to that third person form. And the others would just be apocryphated form, just short.
So when it's shortened down like it's in the law consecutive, then the translation value change then?
No, the translation value stays the same. It's just translated the same as it would be if it were just an imperfect form. The only place you'd actually see a real justice is if you're seeing it not in well consecutive, but you're just seeing, suppose you saw Yivin or something, Yivin, for example, build, and that would be let him build, let him build this, or something like that. So you won't see that too frequently. But when you see it well consecutive, then just translate it like an imperfect. You see a wa in the front of it, it's part of the narrative sequence. It's not really functioning as a justice anymore when you do that.
Okay, that's what's going to be.
No, if it's functioning like a justice, if you see one of these shortened forms all by itself, a third person one of them, all by itself, then you can translate it as a justice and translate let him do or let her do this. But if you see it in a while consecutive, then just translate it as if it's an imperfect. It's just considered a shortened form of the imperfect. And if you see a first person form or something like that, that's just going to be considered an imperfect or a coordinate or something, depending on the context. Okay, so basically, I think the best way to think of these, probably the best way to think of all of these is not justice, but just shortened forms. And then just think of the shortened form being used as the justice for the third person. That's probably the safest way to think of it. He just didn't really give a lot of precision in the way it's described here. So usually I can think of the justice as a certain function. But the reason that they kind of lump these together is because in the paradigm, or when there's an unusual form, they'll give you the justice form. And that will be the form that you're going to use for while consecutive and so forth. That's the main reason they give it to you. Okay, vocabulary. Nouns, bor, meaning pit, cistern, figuratively for the grave, chasm, the pit. Rea, means friend, companion. Stem vowel is not changeable. So that means that this seri is going to shorten when you put suffix and nouns. So plural construct, rea. Singular with third person masculine, singular suffix is re, ehu, and so you get the preservation of that theory. Okay, and I think that apparently the reason to mention this too is ehu, remember, with that longer suffix instead of full mile. Apparently this word prefers that longer suffix, so they take the time to show it to you rather than put reho or something like that, reho or something, and probably we get the problem. They use re, ehu. I think we've run into a few other like that before that had ehu as either an alternate form or in some cases it was the only form with some of the prepositions. And then we had some unusual like the men or something that were more along the same lines, still strange. Then lot means garment, outer garment or cloak. Verbs, we've got shafak, meaning to pour or shed blood. Tafash, or can we tapas, to seize or grab. Nata, to extend, pitch, attend, or turn aside. There's quite a range of meanings. So you can use it for pitching a tent, or you can use it to extend or turn aside as an intransitive verb. So if there's no object on it, you can turn aside, kind of extend yourself or something like that. And the pitching a tent, I think, the idea of stretching the tent out, spreading it out, running stakes in and so forth, which means connection.
The idea of turning aside means you want to stay there.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's not running away or something, but kind of turning your attention away or something. Baka means to weep or to mourn. Remember the Valley of Baka I mentioned in the Old Testament? So it means weeping. This verb. Yeah, in Psalms, yeah. What Psalm is that? I can't remember now. You sort of turn the Valley of Weeping into a well or something. It's there in Psalms somewhere. Okay, shakat means to slaughter. Lots of words for kill. This is to slaughter usually of animals. Shakat.
That means butchering them?
Yeah, kind of slaughtering, butchering them. Mm-hmm.
for the purpose of food.
I think so. Usually when it's used, it's got the idea, you know, you're slaughtering it and cutting it up for food. Yeah. Not just to get rid of it. Okay, and then afta means now, or so, and so then, or then. So it's kind of used, it can mean now, it can also mean in so then, and then, when you're continuing the narrative, something of then this, and then this, and see. Most of the time they do that with a lot of consecutives, but once in a while you see this kind of thing. That's the indicated sequential relationship. Rake means empty, worthless, or idle. And some proper names, Dothan, the city of Dothan, of course, and Ruvain means it means see a son, yeah. So we got Ru from the imperative for imperative plural for, you know, Ra'a, and then you got Vain, the son. So see a son. Okay, some idioms. Number one, a plural verb followed by ish and a correlated singular suffix is to be taken distributively or reciprocally. This is an interesting construction. We have a plural verb, but we have ish, which is a singular form of ish, meaning a man, they're using it as each man. So look at the construction and maybe you can kind of feel it out a little bit. It's probably the best thing to do. Halahu ish el beitho. Each man went to his own house. Okay, now halahu is plural. So literally, you might have, they went a man to his house. They went a man to his house. In other words, they went every man to his house. So they went, the plural is covering the whole works, and then the focus is on each individual that did it. So it's funny how in Greek and Hebrew we're coming up with the same kinds of
So it's like man by man or to a man. Maybe.
Yeah, to a man by man, each one. They went man by man. So the company, you've got a company of individuals that did it, but they each did it man by man, each did it individually. So you're using the plural verb because you want to make it clear that many did it, but you're using each one because you're focusing on each one that did it.
Could you say something like, would it be valid also to say, Olat Kol Anashim El Beitho? They went all the men to their house.
Oh, yes, you could. Yeah. Yeah, it's the same difference as what we talked about in Greek this morning, whether you want to focus on the individual or not. So you could say they all went and use the plural still there, or you could say they went each one to his house. And it's the same. The reason to say that in Hebrew would be the same as if you want to say it in English. In English, we can say they all went, or we can say they went each one. So what's the difference in English? Well, it's only a matter of kind of the focus and the emphasis. And that's what it is in Greek and Hebrew. They're not exactly the same thing, of course. I would not say they're synonymous. But I would say you might say generally synonymous, but not specifically. It might be hard to describe the difference, but it's an emphasis on the individual rather than the whole group. Okay. And Wayomru ish el Re'ehu, and they said to one another. Okay, so literally, what would that be? He said a man unto his friend or his partner or his companion. So they said a man to his companion, to his friend. So they say, yeah, they said to each other, said to one another. So that's pretty loose. The idea is that each man said to his companion. Okay. Everybody follow that? I don't think you'll have too much trouble if you see it, you know, figuring out what happened. But here is a case. In the past, we've seen plural nouns with singular verbs, plural majesty. Now we see a plural verb with singular noun. And it's just because of the way things are being perceived. Okay, then secondly, the imperative of halak is frequently used before another imperative or coercive, in a sense difficult to translate. It is more or less an invitation or inciting to action. Like English, come on, let's do something. So you'll see laku, you know, and they'll throw laku out and then give the command or the exhortation or whatever. And so we do it in English too. It's just a matter of getting a little bit more punch to, a little bit more excitement to, a little bit more urgency perhaps. Come on, let's do this.
It may therefore be omitted off of the translation. I don't like those statements, you know. So we can throw it out because it doesn't really mean anything. I think it does mean something, and I wouldn't want to omit it. If you can find a good way to translate it in English, something that gives you this sense of urgency, I would say keep it. You know? I mean, it's there, so why not indicate it?
It's real interesting because James 4:13 is agehu by legontes.
Yes.
Say no.
Yeah.
Be going.
Yeah.
You.
Right.
You know, exactly.
Sure.
I'll go to flow.
That would be equivalent to halak in the way it's being used. Yeah.
And it's right at the very first go to now.
Probably Hebrewism. Or, you know, one would have to check to see how the Greeks did that too. The only way to tell what's Hebrewism is not find out the Greeks do it, you know.
You don't tend to go classical there.
Yeah. You almost would. Either that or, well, even if it's a pirate, you're dealing with Jews, you know, they still would be carrying there.
Yeah.
You just deal with non-Jewish Greeks. Okay, so example here, Lehu Winahar Ga Otho. Come on, let's kill it. Okay, from Harad. And what's this form, Nahar Ga? What kind of form is that?
Coordinated,
right. Coordinated forms of plural. And notice we've got an and also. Come on and let's kill him. But you'll see that quite frequently, Lehu is in front of something like that. It expresses urgency. So, kind of like, let's walk, let's kill it, you know, or walk, let's kill it, you know, if we take our goal, let's kill it, go to. And there might be the form that's used, go to, let us, you know, kill us the power and so forth back there. And I guess you can check to see if that's what it is. You have the text in the Genesis 11:7, I think. Example here, an imperative of halak with verbs of motion, and then followed by the dative pronoun, which has no translation value. I keep trying to find a translation value for it. It's almost like well, we've got lech lecha. It would be, you know, the form of halak, so it would be go to you. Go to you. Go with reference to you, I suppose. With reference to you, I'm saying go.
Two or four.
Yeah.
For you, go.
Yeah.
For right. them, travel.
Yeah. And that's what it is. Yeah, it's the U Lachem. Travel, you know, and travel to them. Travel to you, plural. Travel to you.
But it's like there's a command, and I'm saying for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think you're saying travel to you. I mean, I can get a feeling from that. I am requiring, or I am desiring travel to you.
I have a word of the Lord for you. Travel.
Yeah, right.
For you, travel.
Yeah.
Put the quote to them.
Yeah. I think we just, we'll have to kind of feel that as we see it in actual text. We're not going to get too much of a feeling for it, I don't think, until we start going into the text next year. But, you might have a point. It may be a little harder to translate in English. I just wish English had the same feeling. It's definitely there for a reason, and there's a feeling that you get from it. That's all I can say.
Is it functioning as a direct object? I mean, direct object?
Well, I don't know if you really want to say it's an indirect object. It's
with your imperative forms. Him on here. But as far as differentiating between the persons in the plural, maybe I'm on the wrong group.
Well, I don't think it would really help here because your imperative, your actual imperative form is only second person. Masculine and singular, masculine, singular, you know, masculine, plural, feminine, singular, feminine, plural. So you've already got second person idea from that. I mean, it's going to have to be like him and so forth. I suppose you, well, no, even there, if it were feminine, you would have a feminine form for the imperative. So I don't think it's really going to help there. I mean, just it seems to have kind of an extended emphasis when you use it. So there's a, you know, more emphasis than before. Kind of like Ma Zeth, you know, what is this? It kind of drags it out a little bit more, put more emphasis. Okay, well, let's see what we can do with these. I didn't formally assign this, so for tomorrow you can be formally assigned C, D, and E, and do only the odd numbers. Let me double check what I got here. I think it's only the odd numbered one. Yeah, odd numbered only. And then E will be the whole thing. Yes.
Question on number two up there, with the imperative cohort.
Yes, okay.
How do you distinguish this that sequence we had where it was the exultant? Could it be translated?
Oh, no, it wouldn't.
So that we can just make Kellyanne or something like that?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Let me just double check that.
Back on page 119. Number three.
Yeah, imperative just recorded. Apparently, it worked with imperatives. Okay. I don't think you can really distinguish that formally because you can continue with cohortatives too. And it may not even make any difference. Come on, let's kill him. Come on so that we can kill him.
Uh-huh.
Come so that we can kill him. Come so that we can kill him. It may not even make any difference. You know? So it may not even be worth trying to make a distinction in this case.
Just that this is a particular...
This is a specific situation, yeah. And this one could... Well, probably wouldn't. I can't imagine any examples of this that wouldn't fit the other. But the other is going to have a more broad range because you can go with cohortatives or imperatives. You can start out with imperative, justive, or cohortative.
So he's kind of pulling out a particular idiom.
Yeah.
They're just using halak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very commonly.
Right. It's kind of a special case using halak, I guess, is the main thing that we're trying to zero in on. Formally, it's got the same characteristics as these other things, but since... And I think the main point is that it's the verb halak and it's very commonly used.
At least
so it starts to gain a certain connotation.
At least in this example, it comes out real quick.
Uh-huh.
Come so that
sure.
We can do this or that.
Sure, and that's the point. See, you're inciting, invitation or inciting to action. So,
result.
Come so that we can do this. You know, get ready so that we can do this. You're inciting action, so it really is almost exactly the same thought. As far as the Hebrew is concerned, there's probably no difference in thought before.
Other than we could have other constructions like repent, so that the fierce wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that would fall. That would fall more formally into that other category. Yes.
It's in such a construction in the second or third or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do they oftentimes use the cohortative instead of the imperfect? He said that.
Oh, to follow. Oh, yeah. In the second verb here. Yes, in a normal series like that, yeah, in that general case, you can follow with
you could follow without a cohortative here. I suppose in this, with Laku, I would expect you to see an actual cohortative form used more because you're saying let's go. And that's what he seems to be suggesting here. But as far as that general series is concerned, then it could be either cohortative or imperfect. You might see it followed with imperfect, even the first person imperfect.
Do you remember what they used more things?
I really don't know. I don't think there's enough of these. You know, I haven't seen enough
around
to get a feeling for it. I think that in a case like this with Laku, of course, I think you're going to see cohortatives perhaps all the time. I can't think of, I could think of several examples of it, and I can't think of any that didn't have cohortative in it. As far as the general is concerned, I wouldn't know which would take the precedence on that. I suppose if I had to guess, I would probably guess that you'd see cohortative more often if you were in first person in a situation like that. But I don't think I wouldn't bet anything on it. I don't think there's probably not going to be enough of them unless the person would have to specifically just we'll get our program again and find the instances in which you have cohortative forms or something like that, and you'd have to pick all the places where you had an imperative followed by a verb form. I wonder if it'd be fun to program a computer to do that for you. So you'd have to know how to recognize an imperative form for all the irregularities and everything else. And then you'd have to know how to recognize.
They don't know how to recognize anything. All you have to do is recognize it and tell it what it is. Yeah, I know. It has no memory for it. Well, that's what I'm getting at. Somebody's going to have to do a lot of work. A lot of work, don't you? Parse it over. Going to need a lot of memory. Okay, let's go through these odd numbered ones on this, and see what we can do with them. Part A, number one, Doug.
They
build a new city. Yes, they will build a new city. Or, you could say they build a new city, too, because it's in the present. It's an imperfect form from Bana. They will build a new city. Number three, Jim?
Wayichar lo meod.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very angry with him.
Okay, actually, the with him here is part of an idiom. It's a person, remember the idiom was kind of, there was anger to him. There was very much anger to him. In other words, he was very angry.
Oh, he was very angry?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Remember it was an impersonal verb.
Oh, so
you
got to say... So he said, Wayichar Otho, he was very angry at him.
Yeah, that would be more, and I'm not sure that this verb would be used that way, but
right.
That would be what you
okay.
need. But this verb, now, it's an impersonal verb, and you could have, it'd be still be Wayichar if it was La, she became angry. It'd still be the masculine form of the verb because it's impersonal.
Right.
In other words, anger happened to her, kind of the idea. Interesting that they had that. That kind of they conceived of anger as something coming upon you, so that appeared, which is very interesting in light of demonic deliverance. Okay, number five, Tony.
Wana'al Yerushalayma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little puzzled, but it makes sense. But I have. And a shoe. And Jerusalem's shoe.
That doesn't. did you look up Na'al?
Na'al is shoe.
Okay, that's the tricky thing. This illustrates exactly what this is exercised for. And that happens a lot. Actually, the problem, the thing that threw you off is because you're looking for a three radical base for a verb or for a basic word. But this is from Allah, and the nun is the prefix, and the hey dropped off the end, and that's why it looks so funny. Yeah, I certainly understand the mistake, and that's I'm glad somebody made the mistake. I hope I'm not so that we can illustrate this, because You know, if I tell you you're going to make mistakes on this, and then you get them all right, you know, during the class, then it doesn't sound too good for my prediction. But then later on, it'll happen anyway. You see what I mean?
But you could tell that. Could you tell that because of the doubling of the nu?
Well, the doubling of the nu is going to tip you off. But see, the doubling of the nun, actually, no, the nun really won't help you because the nun is going to be doubled. I think the thing that tips you off, well, I see what you're saying. It tips you off that it's a verb form and a wa consecutive. Because the wa with the pasach there and with the nun, you say, ah, we've got wa consecutive form. Now, if I see a nun in the first position, that nun could either be the nun of the beginning of the verb, but one nun, remember, usually assimilate that.
Right.
So if we've got a real nun there, that's probably the nun for the prefix.
Right.
And then, you look at that, a prefix, now look what you got left. You got al. That seems too short for a verb.
Right.
And you know the three hays can chop off the last hay.
Right.
So you guess it would be al. But it's not one that's
all very much.
But not all with you, huh?
Yeah. It's spelled exactly the same with the accent. The only thing that's missing is the dagate.
Oh, so it's a segulet. It's a segulet with two pop eyes.
Exactly.
How about that?
That's now Lim is plural, too.
And the shoe of Jerusalem. Look at the construct. The only problem would be that the form of wa would not be that. It would be wa. It would be shua then.
And no double.
If you had the construct.
And no double.
Yeah. And no dagesh, so. Good. I've heard of the shoe of Italy. Who is Italy? Okay, and so it should be as we ascended toward Jerusalem. As we ascended toward Jerusalem. Okay. Good. Number seven, Daniel? Oh, no, Peter, I'm sorry. Which Peter?
No, I said L-A-H.
Okay. Don't take this liver gummy, don't make this here.
Yeah.
Confession.
Let's be first person. We built gods of wood.
Okay, but it's either, you could either consider this a cooperative or just a imperfect first person plural.
Okay.
So the context has to decide. So it'll either be we will make gods of wood. Or let us make God's wood.
Okay. Oh,
it's not actually a coordinate form, but it can be understood that way. So I would give as it is, I would say probably we will make God's wood.
So it's like a coordinate without the ah ending?
Yeah, right. Remember, the coordinates don't always have the ah ending. It's optional. So you could still understand this as a coordinate if the context indicated that. Especially with plurals, though, you more often than not see the common say, you're tending to see a coordinate. So either we will make God the wood or let us make God the wood.
Could you use the phrase wooden God?
Yeah, wooden God would be much. Okay, number nine, that's outstanding.
Vaya'an vayomet.
Okay.
And he answered and said.
Right, and he answered and said. Okay. That's very parallel to, and that's quite a common expression, but Jim, I think, were we talking about
yeah.
the end of the day?
Uh-huh. We used the aorist participle.
Mm-hmm. In the Greek and the New Testament, they'll often use an aorist participle in the answer.
Apokrite,
kaiphen. And you know, it's been argued that, well, therefore, simultaneous action. But here you see the same thing with law consecutive series,
right.
Indicating that the answering comes before the saying.
Right.
He answered and said. And so if you take that Hebrewistic understanding and call this a Hebrewism, obvious why they did that.
We can make a pretty strong case.
Sure, sure.
That'd
we add more fuel to the fire.
That'd be fun.
But
be
see, they're thinking of this as answering first, then saying.
That'd be a fun piece.
Yeah, it would. It would. I think it should be done. I think somebody ought to really nail that one before.
Well, I've been debating trying to find out a thesis to do.
I'll give you approval on this one. But I mean, to really, I just take all the examples, all the books that say this. And see if you can find anybody in the dissent, but I've never found a dissenter yet. But I really haven't looked at every book.
Sure.
But I'd like to see somebody who sticks
that
to the
really guts. I think I'll draft a proposal on that.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that.
Are we thinking for a mini thesis or
a master's
thesis? Oh, for a master's. Okay.
If I did a master's thesis and took 4 credits of class in this one, right?
Yeah. Well, I think if you could get, just on the basis of that issue of the Holy Spirit, you would justify doing it. And I mean, you know, I've done.
some that aren't in the Hebrew and the Greek studies might think, well, that's kind of a technical point. But if you show the implications that it has,
I'm able to throw in a little bit of the history of the text with the
Septuagint. Oh yeah. How would you sketch your master's thesis? Oh, you could certainly make 50 pages out of that.
Oh, no problem. That'd be great.
Okay. This is great. I've been wanting to have that done for a long time. If he doesn't do it, somebody else ought to do it. Okay, number 11, right? Next one. And so you want to examine both the Hebrew and the Greek instances. Get a whole string of these, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Shouldn't be any problem. Who's next? Go ahead.
Paul.
Okay.
We're trying
to figure it out between
you and I lost.
Okay. Well.
Maybe I am.
Yeah. I guess it could be that way. Let's see. You will not be lost. Something like that. But it's more likely to be a negative command. Remember, we use it. Yeah. Don't get lost. Don't be lost. Or don't get lost. I guess. We'll probably define that verse. To get lost or to be lost or. Maybe it's lost.
To be lost.
Okay. It's
144. It's been that long with the
paradigm
there.
Oh, right. Okay, to be lost. Yeah. Don't be lost. Or don't get lost. Mm-hmm. So if you just. Yeah. Okay, number 13.
Yeah. Lama, effect. Why wait you?
Okay.
Why do you weep?
Why do you weep?
Yeah. Why did you weep?
Well, let's see. Why will you weep? It'd be perfect there.
Oh, yeah.
Why will you weep? Or you could have another option there, too, that form.
Yeah.
Why will she weep? So it'd be third person feminine singular or second person masculine singular. So either why will she weep or why will you weep?
I say a case like this, could you also put that in the present?
I think, well, yeah, if it's isolated, why are you weeping? And then you can get a progressive present aspect out of it. Why are you weeping? Why is she weeping? That's possible too. And of course, your context is going to have to decide that by and large. But it's a nice little example of certain synthetical ideas. Number 15, John. He gets the long one.
He's the longest one to hold it. Interesting.
It is kind of interesting.
Waya'alu Hahara Le Ro'os. There seems to be an S. Unless the comma T on the end of that harar makes it a preposition type.
Yeah, it does.
It does. It does. It doesn't require the S.
Right. It doesn't require the S. It's no longer an object. It's just like.
There's no way to make the mountains ascend up.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
It happened in the flood.
Okay, so they ascended up the mountain to see the animals or the living things?
Yeah, to see the animals, yeah, to see the living things.
Now, the root, the clear oath, net hahayo, that's, what is the root oath?
Okay, the ra'oth is because the three hay is an infinitive construct, and the three hay is an infinitive construct gets the oath.
Okay.
Like the note. So that's, I'm sure that's why you put these together. Okay. So that you wouldn't get, you know, so you get confused on this one and find out that you've got to watch out for confusion on future ones. So this oath is just an infinitive construct form for a three hay. And then the lama, of course, there's a preposition on that. Yeah, and then, but that ha-ra'a is it's effectively a prepositional phrase in one word.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you didn't have the a in the end, then you'd have to have L or something like that, L for the mouth.
Now, there is. This is an infinitive,
right?
It doesn't have to have, wouldn't have to have the look. Right?
You wouldn't really have to, no.
But it does.
You could just have a, or, you know,
it's very common to find it.
Very common, yeah. Very, very common. Especially on another verb they ascended to see. When you have an auxiliary, I mean, two verbs linked together like that, you know, do something to do something else. That's where you normally see this preposition lama. Okay. Number 17, back to Doug.
One
is shift. Yeah, one is shift.
You're assuming that you're continuing a series that started with a perfect simple phrase.
We sat
and ate
and
drank. Yes, good. We sat and ate and drank. Okay, in that order. Good. So they're all converted and perfect. Number 19, we got 5 minutes. Jim?
Ete es yadi hashemaima.
Okay. And this verb isn't much left.
Well, I'll tell you what I want to say. Okay, let me contextual. I lifted my hand to heaven.
Okay. Except you want the future. It's not converted.
I will lift my hand.
Yeah, I will lift my hand to the heaven, toward heaven, or I will extend my hand toward heaven.
Okay.
Stretch out my hand toward heaven. Extend my hand toward heaven.
That contextual, I didn't know it.
Yeah. Oh, you give me some of the verb ones, I guess it's okay. Yeah, it's pretty safe. It's from Nata there, the verb to the one gun. It's a one gun, so that one gets swallowed up in the dog issue, it's not safe.
So you're going to pitch your
head in the black and return it.
Pitch your head.
Yeah,
yeah.
Turn the
head.
Pitch your hand.
Okay. And number 21, Tony? You got another good one,
huh? Vayishachtu.
Okay.
Mehavakar.
Vayishchatu, yeah, Vayishchatu. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if you said that. Vayishchatu. Okay.
I'm not going to show up.
I'm not sure. I think you might have said it right.
May have a car. No, I can't say it. May have a car. And what may have done?
Yeah, this is again who may have done. Who may have done. Just because it's before labial.
Yeah. I think it says, and we will slaughter from the large animals and from the small animals.
Okay. Except that it's a converted verb imperfect, so you know, so and we slaughtered, or excuse me, and they slaughtered. Third person. And they slaughtered from the large cattle and from the small cattle, or the idiom is kind of they slaughtered some of the large, some of the small.
Yeah.
You know, to use from something is to indicate part of the one. Okay. B, to give the Hebrews the following orally. Number one, don't pour the water. Peter, don't pour the water. Make this an immediate command. I think I've had to say this to my daughter a few times. I call her a hydrophile. Anytime, you know, we don't hear anything for a while, you know. She's checking the bathroom and she's got something going with water, you know. Pouring it from place to place or carrying it around the house or something.
Let's be on that Sunday school lesson.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to remember this one.
Don't show your little machine, your little equilibrium machine out.
Yeah, she hasn't seen that yet. I've got to get it up in the attic.
Okay, all nine. Ishak. Yes, I might.
Okay, the all, alright, but you have the first person plural, so you need, I guess it didn't say. But you need a third person form. Excuse me, second person form here. Yeah. I'm sorry, either singular or plural.
Isn't
it tishpok? Oh yeah, tishpok? Is that what you said?
I said pot, but I guess it's pok.
Yeah, it's got a pole in perfect. Okay. Imperfect. So tishpok. Okay, that's right. All tishpok es tamayim. Good, I'm sorry. All tishpok es tamayim. Okay. Number three, you ask and he will answer. Daniel, you're up next.
ask?
I think an imperative. Being saying, you ask and he will answer. So that's what I assumed anyway.
Mm-hmm. Is he sure of?
Yes, Waya'ane. Waya'ane, the Golpe. Sha'al, Waya'ane. Waya'ane, excuse me, you don't want to walk. Just a normal perfect there. You ask and then you will answer, so it's that series of imperative plus perfect. Okay. That's all the time we have, so we'll be. For tomorrow, we're going to finish the
exercise.
Yeah. All right, in a moment, you got the proposal all done. Oh, yeah, you could do it, you know, broaden it to Hebrews in general.
Yeah, Hebrews and
perfect.
Travel for reduction in the Greek Testament.
Well, you were interested in that anyway.
Hebrew phraseology. Came in Septuagint with this issue of Old Testament quotes and New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? Examining the Septuagint to see how they would translate certain Hebrew phrases. And then a few examples.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing of Old Testament textual criticism.
Yeah,
like examining that. So
all right. A lot of your research is already
important. Also,
good.
And looking for this specific
boy. I'd like to see that. I was starting to get some master's thesis. And Daniel's got his about done, and Eric's got his about done. So far, we've only got four in students, so three of them.
I guess I'm the challenge.
Get an Americana to They're really good, though. I just reviewed Daniel's, and I think you're going to be.
Peter Pan was so much better.
Here's a book for you, Trinity of Man. Dennis Bennett.
Three men in one, huh?
Oh, Asheville. You like that word Trinity?
They had some. Oh, that
was. It seems like everything's measured by that word.
Anybody read this? Yeah, I just saw it.
Jim, I think, was
late as well. Dennis Bennett.
What's his?
Charlotte. He's all over.
Be a missionary to China without leaving home.
Oh, really? That's
right.
What about that?
So they would have
an English. Nobody can understand.
They have good books. It
really is too bad.
From Nazir. Nazirayos. Nazirayos.
And yet, for all the fumbling, there's still
other
examples of
Zeta for Saudi.
The psychological and spiritual
behind him. Mm-hmm. Bauer also. D would be Zion. Welcome, Zion, for sake of Elvin.
You ready for me?
Sit down.
You know, Mike, I began to take my name up and come from the community.
Hello, bro?
With all these voices, this is exactly the opposite.
I'm done.
That's pretty good. But top plus, you know, well, the form of the word would be, I find massage.
Okay, well, sure, I'll let you let's go down to my house and put it back in the box when you take it over to my box. Because just the computer part is all you need because she's got the other part.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Old Testament.